From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. On today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, we pick up where we ended on our previous broadcast and present more of an episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast. Hank is talking with Mary Graybar, a resident fellow at the Alexander Hamilton Institute for the Study of Western Civilization and the author of Debunking Howard Zinn, Exposing the Fake History That Turned a Generation Against America. Let's now join Hank Hanegraaff and scholar Mary Graybar in their conversation.
I want you to expand a little bit on this 1619 project. This is a complete juxtaposition of dates. 1776 now is going to evaporate, and 1619 is going to become the date that's prevalent in everybody's mind. It's going to be predominant. That's the idea, right?
Mm-hmm. It's a reframing of American history of the founding, yes.
And you're writing a book on debunking this project.
Yeah. So the 1619 project was a special issue of the New York Times Magazine that came out in August of 2019. And the creator of that is a New York Times writer named Nicole Hannah Jones. And she presumably thought up this thing and she wrote the lead essay. And so the issue contains her essay, which has a number of gross distortions of history, just like Howard Zinn does. It also contains other articles and poems and photographs. And the argument behind it is that the first arrival of slaves here who stayed is really the founding of the country, and that the words and the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution really had no meaning until, you know, black Americans led the way and showed white America how to really implement those ideals and make them real, which is a term that she uses. That also is a Marxist view. She has expressed her admiration for Fidel Castro. A lot of what she writes and tweets is Marxist in orientation. And that's another text that has been implemented in, last I heard, 45,000 different schools across the United States. So kids are learning it, have been learning it for over a year. And there's going to be a set of books, some of them for children, which are coming out early this year. Oprah Winfrey is producing some movies related to the 1619 Project. And so what the ultimate goal is to eliminate the 4th of July. I can predict that we're going to be seeing calls to no longer celebrate the 4th of July.
And she got a Pulitzer Prize, I think, didn't she?
Yeah, she got a Pulitzer Prize. Exactly. It's outrageous. It really is.
It totally is outrageous. And I think what's happening overall is that this idea of slavery, as reprehensible as it is being posited as something that is advocated by Christians, when in fact, and you point this out, I believe, in the book, there's a Muslim role in slavery. There's a Muslim role in slave trade, and it's largely being ignored by Western elites. In fact, Islam is being promoted as being a better way to go if you're going to be religious than Christianity.
Yeah, it's ludicrous. You know, the adoption of Islam by many African Americans, you know, that started back in the, I think it really got going in the 1960s, and before that there was Marcus Garvey, but that's a whole story. And this notion that, well, for Howard Zinn, the notion is that, you know, communists were really the only ones who were fighting against racism. The 1619 Project gives absolutely no credit to to any whites, none of the Quakers and the other denominations that worked to end slavery, often at risk to their own lives and to their own sort of well-being. And, you know, I mean, the thing about slavery is that it was a worldwide phenomenon from the beginning of time. And when we're talking about slavery in the United States, it wouldn't have been possible to have slaves here unless you had the traders, many of them Muslims, on the west coast of Africa selling the slaves. I mean, this notion of the slave traders going into the interior of Africa and hunting down and capturing people and then enslaving them is a historical myth. What happened was that these were captives in warfare by other tribes who were then sold to slave traders on the coast, and the slave traders came and bought them. And the people selling the slaves were Muslims, or they were animists, or whatever religious beliefs they had. You know, in Africa, those who were selling them in Africa, you know, were not Christians. I mean, there were, you know, people who owned slaves who, you know, were Christians, but it was a largely Christian movement that emancipated the slaves. You know, it was a combination of Enlightenment ideas and Christian ideas that, for really the first time in history, looked at enslavement and said that this is wrong. I mean, outside of that, it was just sort of like, you know, who's going to question it? People were used to doing it for so long that there was no need to question it. And I quote a Sultan of Morocco who was asked about it by a Brit in 1842 and, you know, asked, what are you going to do about slavery? And the Sultan says, well, what are you talking about? You know, what's wrong with it, right? So the credit is not given where it should be given.
And we mentioned briefly Lincoln and the fact that Lincoln's statues are being attacked in America, and that President Lincoln is now being portrayed as a cowardly, racist politician that was beholden to powerful money interests. People forget that he was assassinated for his anti-slavery position.
Exactly.
So this is a complete reversal of history, and not just tangential or unimportant. This is right at the epicenter of why we fought a civil war.
Yeah, I mean, it became complicated. It became a war to end slavery, and Lincoln never liked slavery. He thought it was wrong, but he also had the task of keeping the Union together and, you know, had to make political decisions. He couldn't do what Howard Zinn presents him as being able to do, which is, with the snap of a finger, just outlaw slavery. I mean, that's Zinn's sort of fantasy portrayal of what a president can do. And, you know, Lincoln, yeah, he died for the cause. He was killed. And it really is astounding that young people who have been educated in this way, they've lost their sense of human decency. I mean, they are so quick to condemn people of the past who do not adhere to their standards exactly and to demolish their reputations. And they really, they don't know what they are doing, but they have been so steeped in this toxic history that they don't know any better. I think they're at the point where they're not willing to listen to any other perspective. And it's really quite dangerous. I mean, they want to wipe out history, and what they want to institute is this communistic regime. And they don't even know what they're talking about. You know, they're acting in complete ignorance and anger.
Yeah, you know, as I was reading through your book again this weekend, I was thinking over and over again that this is not just about debunking Howard Zinn anymore. You're communicating something that is so important because it is an antidote against a pervasive cultural narrative. It's now a cultural narrative in which we're indicting America and we're promoting communism, in which kids today, and I've heard this with my own ears, I have 12 kids. When you have a lot of kids, you hear from a lot of kids. But kids today are now saying things like Hitler's Germany was no worse than the United States of America.
Stay right there. We'll be back soon to rejoin Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Dr. Mary Graybar. In a world filled with fake news, research, the R in CRI, is more crucial than ever. While researching Columbus Day, Hank Hanegraaff read countless articles conveying Christopher Columbus as one of history's greatest villains, far from the hero of history we learned about as students. Then Hank realized something. Every article used the same source, Howard Zinn's A People's History of the United States. Zinn's influence is wide, and his lies won't be resisted unless they're recognized. And this makes Debunking Howard Zinn by Mary Graybar one of the most important books you'll read this year. To receive your copy of Debunking Howard Zinn, Exposing the Fake History That Turned a Generation Against America, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. The history of Islam is one of wanton carnage and horrific oppression, and it has been whitewashed beyond recognition by our politically correct elites. According to credible sources, 120 million Africans, 80 million Hindus, 60 million Christians, 10 million Buddhists have been slaughtered in the name of Islam. And that doesn't include the millions of Muslims killed by other Muslims. Islam is the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel. Read Hank Hanegraaff's stunning book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership when you call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. www.thecreationreport.org. Let's rejoin Hank Hanegraaff and scholar Mary Graybar as they continue their conversation.
Kids today are now saying things like Hitler's Germany was no worse than the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
That even Imperial Japan was a victim of American aggression. This is part of the conversation that kids are now involved in because of what they themselves have learned from educators, from quote-unquote historians.
Yeah, and that's what Howard Zinn says. Well, what Howard Zinn does, one of his rhetorical strategies, is to ask these leading questions. And that's in order to make the young or naive reader think that, you know, they're coming upon the answer themselves. But he asks, you know, were we any better than the fascists? And he insinuates that, you know, fascism was baked into our bones and, you know, that we were imperialistic and we murdered and we put the Japanese in internment camps, you know, just like the Nazis. And of course, that's why you've got these kids believing that, you know, we had no business criticizing the Nazi regime or Japan because we were just as bad, if not worse.
Yeah, and I want to go back to something that you said about Howard Zinn and the Communist Party USA, or CPUSA, and how successful they are in placing individuals in selected government agencies. I mean, this really is terrifying. And it's also revealing in terms of what's happening in our culture today.
Yeah, well, the State Department and other agencies were full in the 1930s and 1940s. You know, I'd go through how FDR let them in, and they were spying, and Alger Hiss and Whitaker Chambers and that whole thing, which Howard Zinn denies. He calls it a Red Scare, selling our military secrets. So they use them to shoot down our planes, just, you know, rife with these individuals. I think what we're seeing today is the adoption of the ideas of the CPUSA without people even really being aware of where their ideas originate. The idea that if you are for free enterprise and for constitutionalism, that you are automatically a white supremacist, that you cannot be someone who is for racial equality unless you hold socialist ideas. That's where they've become successful in terms of sort of changing the conversation. So, you know, they've succeeded in making people equate socialistic ideas with openness and being non-racist. I was listening to an interview with Nicole Hannah-Jones, the creator of the 1619 Project, and, you know, her version of true democracy, true American ideals, is to have universal health care. And she said blacks were leading the way on that. And that's a civil rights issue, you know. And so if you were to say, well, you know, I believe there should be equal opportunity for people regardless of race, but I don't think that universal health care or government-sponsored health care is good, well, they'll charge back and say, oh, you're a racist. You'll say no. And they'll say, yeah, yes, you are, because they have succeeded in confusing the issues. And Howard Zinn did that. So he equates socialism with anti-racism. And so that's why people have such a strong emotional attachment to socialistic ideas. because they don't want to be racist. And I think that's a tribute to our country. You know, we're not a racist country. That's why people go to such extremes to, you know, not be tainted with that. And as they do that, as they, you know, seek to not be tainted by that charge, they often adopt these erroneous, confusing ideas. And, you know, with the Democrats in charge, I think we're going to be seeing this more and more. I mean, they always do that. But what they want to do is to slip in their socialistic ideas under the cover of race.
Yeah, there's no question about that. And I think they're certainly succeeding in doing that by supporting Black Lives Matter as an organization that is founded by trained Marxists, and an organization that now has made huge inroads into corporate America.
Yeah, that's a very good example. Right. I mean, you know, they put you in a spot. You know, how can you not believe Black Lives Matter? You know, and then if you say, well, you know, I don't believe in their Marxist principles, well, it's still, you know, you're cornered and forced to either accept that saying or, you know, be charged with racism. And like I said, to the credit of Americans, you know, we don't want to be racist. I mean, that is a charge that really stings. And if we were racist, the charge would not sting.
I think when you think about this organization, how bold and brazen they are. I mean, I remember when I first started researching this organization, I went to their website. And on their website, it says for everyone to see that they are involved in disrupting the Western prescribed nuclear family structure. They want to free people from the tight grip of heteronormative thinking. They want to decouple gender and sex. And they're not trying to hide this. They're saying this, and corporate America seems to be proud of it and pouring all kinds of money into the organization. This is an organization whose co-founders talk about being trained Marxists. It's absolutely stunning.
Yeah, well, you know, whenever I see a picture of the guy that runs Twitter or Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, or these CEOs, you know, who are in their 40s and 30s now, well, these are the people who've been educated by the Zen version of American history. These people are now in charge. And, you know, I saw the potential when I was, you know, in graduate school in the 90s and teaching during graduate school and then afterwards and seeing, you know, the beginning of this. And the people now in charge have adopted the Zen version of American history. They've adopted the cultural Marxism. They're in charge. The scary thing is they see nothing wrong with those principles that you just repeated. To them, that's fine. Or else they really are the power-hungry, greedy oligarchs. You know, I'd look at Jeff Bezos. I mean, that's all he is. I mean, you know, you talk about capitalist greed. you've got someone right there, you know, owns Amazon and the Washington Post. I mean, what they're doing is really, really evil. They're corporate dictators, but they are convinced of the rightness of their views. They are not open to any debate or any evidence to the contrary. They don't want a conversation. They don't value the idea of the First Amendment or rational discourse or the rule of law. They are power-hungry people. And I could go into, you know, my other theories about, you know, how our educational system has made them this way. But they are egomaniacs and impervious to any kind of human empathy or open-mindedness.
I was going to ask you a final question, what can we do? But I think I'll answer that question by saying that what people ought to do is get a copy of this book, and we'll make it available for anyone that supports our organization. You can get a copy of Debunking Howard Zinn, Exposing the Fake History That Turned a Generation Against America. This book available for anyone that supports the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can check it out on the web at equip.org.
Thank you for listening to this special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To hear this Hank Unplugged podcast interview with scholar Mary Graybar in its entirety, go to equip.org, iTunes, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Our daily commitment here at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. In appreciation for your vital gift to help strengthen and expand CRI's life-changing outreaches, Hank would like to send you the book, Debunking Howard Zinn, Exposing the Fake History That Turned a Generation Against America, by Mary Graybar. Call a resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit our website, equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.